Hello and welcome to The Biscuit. It's me, William, the host. Thanks for tuning in today. Got a fun one lined up with the Wactor himself, Mikey McKernan, a stand-up comedian and a big hockey fan. Very excited to talk to him. Just a few things before we start the interview with Mikey. I wanted to tell you guys about Hairless Ape Conspiracies. The best t-shirts on the planet. Bar none. They feel good. The graphics are cool. They have a good message on them, too. And their website, hairlessapeinc.com, is a great place to go to find inspiration and motivation. You know, I go every couple days just to read up and see, you know, what they're giving out workouts or, you know, recommending books. And Sam Burns, the owner, who you can listen to on the Biscuit. I don't remember what episode number it is, but just type in Sam Burns. And he's got a good head on his shoulder. Veteran, the company's veteran-owned, veteran-operated. And I'm very proud to be, you know, sponsored by them. And actually wearing one of their shirts right now, the We Hit one, one of my favorite ones, the Assembly of Alphas. Go over there, find a shirt you like. Use the promo code BISCUIT10 at checkout. Save yourself 10% off. You're welcome. Also, head over to parkersplatoon.org. That's Scott, the Sheriff, Parker's nonprofit organization to help one veteran at a time. Our thoughts and prayers still go out to the Parker family as Francesca Parker, Scott's wife, is battling a brain tumor. So very serious stuff there. We wish her all the best. She's one of the toughest ladies of all time, so I'm sure she'll battle it and beat it. And I absolutely love the Parkers. One of the best families on the planet. And I need you guys to go to hockeyfights.com. They are partnered up with The Biscuit and Fourth Line Voice. They wanted the best podcast. They got the best podcast. Head over there. Start rating and reviewing some of the fights. I always recommend, you know, drink three quick beers. Get on hockeyfights.com and just, you know, start with Dodie Wood or start with Stu Grimson. Start with Scott Parker and just go. And you'll start finding new fights. Rate them. You're there already. The system's easy, and it helps The Biscuit out. It helps hockeyfights.com out, and, you know, that website is a great tool, you know, to watch hockey fights. And before I start the episode, there was something that I wanted to get off my chest, because I know if I don't say it, it'll bother me, and I'll be like, ah, why the fuck didn't I say it? But, you know, there was a gentleman who runs a Bruins podcast. I don't think it's necessary to say his name. I'm sure some of you guys know who he is. But, you know, he's been on the show before. And as of recently, I noticed that he had unfollowed The Biscuit and Fourth Line Voice and maybe some other of you guys. And it was weird. You know, I had said something along the lines of, oh, you like fighting now, because he talked about that kid from Boston that fought and his parents liked it. But if you're going to unfollow me because you have a problem with something I say to you, and, you know, you've been on the show, we've promoted each other, and, you know, this is supposed to be a tight family here that, you know, I'm retweeting your shit, you know, you're retweeting mine, and then it just, you just unfollow and ghost me, and I'm still retweeting your shit. I think that's a Bush move. I don't appreciate it, and that's all I have to say about it now. The one guy that works for them still follows me. I still, you know, talk to him. But two of the other gentlemen in their podcast decided not to follow me. And, you know, I don't give a shit. Unfollow me all you want, but don't be Bush League about it. And, you know, Fourth Line was on his podcast and, you know, was pumping it up. And, you know, he unfollowed him and Fourth Line didn't even say anything to him. So there's ways to do things and approach podcasting, and it is, you know, at the end of the day, a business, and that's just not the way you do business. So yeah, that's a Bush League fucking whack move. It's off my chest. That's all I have to say about it now. I'm sure the guy, you know, who used to listen doesn't anymore, but yeah, I wish you all the best, I suppose. Yeah, you know what, I don't, I'm not gonna lie. So fuck you. Enjoy your team-specific podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mikey, boo. McKernan.
Now Kroger, he's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate, and down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurts!
It's old time hockey, the way you're supposed to play. You throw a little lumber if a guy gets in your way. You play like Gordie Howe or Eddie fucking Shore. We can't all be Gretzky, some user Bobby Orr's.
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts, it's the Biscuit. It's the Biscuit.
Damn it! That goal regulation size of one!
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. As a country will stop working on some Batman's fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's the Biscuit Podcast.
Hey, you wanna go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man. Good luck to you too, buddy.
All right, Biscuit Babies, I am joined by the Wactor himself, the stand-up comedian, the writer, the ultimate hockey fan. You might know him from New Girl on the television, the ever silly Mikey Boo, McKernan.
What's up?
What's going
Thanks
on, buddy?
For having me. That was one of the best intros I've ever gotten.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Next time I'm in LA, I'll host. do some call-ups. How you been, buddy?
I'm good. I got no complaints.
Good.
Just trying to stay busy.
Well, I mean, from your Instagram and your Twitter, it seems like you're constantly, going on stage and getting up on mics.
Yeah, I love it right now. I'm absolutely obsessed. And stand-up comedy in Los Angeles, unfortunately, does not take nights off. Just you do.
Right. And that's it seems like if you don't go up on a Tuesday night, it's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. It's so funny, too, because Tuesday is actually like a poppin' night for comedy because, you know, if you're not out on the weekends getting gigs, and it's like, all right, well, Tuesday's the night that we have to run our own, you know, our own terrific shitty bar show.
Right, and it seems, and I mean, to me, that it's like a golden era for fucking stand-up comedy right now.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, with what you can use social media wise and all the spots that are coming up, and there's just, I've never seen so many talented people and so many funny people.
Yeah, it's really great. I like to give credit to Netflix and podcasting, what's gotten stand-up comedy so amazing, because I've always felt like comedy fans, you know, love the comedian because they're like, yeah, that's my buddy who like jokes about things, you know, so yeah. they feel close. But now with podcasts, they're even closer, you know, and everybody works those mundane jobs, so they listen to the podcast. So when they find out, like, you know, their host or their favorite podcast, you know, host comes out to their hometown doing comedy, that person goes to their friends like, hey, you know that podcast I don't shut up about? Well, they're doing comedy. Let's roll. And
yeah,
it's been unbelievable.
It's huge, and it is like if you're sitting at work for 10 hours a day, it is like you're hanging out with your buddies. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm pretty close with Bill Burr, and, you know. Because it's like they're just talking, and it turns out that comedians are funny all the time. So it's like you really feel tight with them. Even like, you know, your appearances on Kill Tony and everything, you're like, oh, that guy's fucking hilarious. And that's a minute you get, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it.
And, you know, being a California kid, how did you get into hockey?
Oh, man, it has everything to do with the great one.
I was going to say there's that Gretzky effect out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, when he came to Los Angeles in 88, I think it was. I forgot who it was, but they basically told my parents, like, oh, you guys should watch hockey. And my mom got really into it, and so she couldn't wait to get her boys on the ice when they were able to.
Did you play?
Yeah, I played from 7 years old to 16. Played at a travel league in Skaha. It's called Southern California Amateur Hockey Association, which I think a couple of pros have actually maybe might have come out of it.
Oh, nice.
My brother knows more than anything. Me and my brother, we tried to start at the same time when we were 7 years old, but he got over it, and I kept going. But he's actually like the stat guy. He's absolutely obsessed with hockey and hockey history. Like, I'm not kidding you. Like, it's unbelievable.
Well, that's weird. My younger brother's kind of like Rain Man in that sense too. He'll be like, oh yeah, Stu Grimson had, you know, a plus minus of this in like 93. I'm like, how do you remember that? Like, there's no reason you should know that.
Absolutely. It's so funny too. Plus with analytics now being so popular, it's like, man, this is just more stuff for those number guys.
Yeah. Yeah. So were you, you're about 32, 33?
Yeah. 33 years old.
So you probably remember pretty well the culture of hockey changing out there. Like, cause you basically lived it from when Gretzky was, I mean, they always, you know, they had the Kings out there, but when he came, it changed everything.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh man, it's been so quickly too. From how I'm a big Anaheim Ducks fan, and for instance, when I was already out of high school, you know, they started the high school ice hockey league, and you know, then they started buying up a bunch of rinks, like the Anaheim rinks, and like just seeing how quickly that's grown. Because now I don't even know how many teams are in it now. They have like over 40 high school teams, and you know, and some of them have gone to the national championship, you know, and it's just so crazy to think about Southern California
right.
ice hockey high school team going to Minnesota.
It's nuts. And the players that come out of California too, it's like, you know, Arizona now, it's just another place where there's hockey. It doesn't matter that, you know, there's never actual ice out there.
Yeah, it's so funny. I know it's kind of ironic because when people are like, whoa, you grew up playing ice hockey? And, you know, and like I always would describe, oh, I grew up playing ice hockey. And then any, you know, person in Canada or any hockey related, it's like, no, we don't have to say ice. It's just hockey, you know?
Well, I mean, roller hockey's absolutely massive out in California because it's always so fucking nice out. Like, why wouldn't you go out and play?
Absolutely. Yeah, I grew up playing roller hockey. Like, there was like an outdoor league growing up, and I had a reputation because I was like one of the kids who played ice hockey, you know, so that was always a thing. But I mean, they used to have the Huntington Beach Hockey League. Do you remember watching that, where they had like the ramps
dude?
Yeah, at the end.
I had never heard of it, and I had a buddy of mine on who's in a band, Akula, and he was like, dude, have you ever seen that? It's like the Pacific Roller Hockey
Pro
League.
Beach Hockey.
Yes, Pro Beach Hockey. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? And that league was gnarly.
Yeah.
And they're like out there in shorts and shit too, just like just balling.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. I'll never forget watching that kind of stuff. And of course, roller hockey's just always been like, you know, cornerstone of Southern California culture too.
Does that translate at all, like the roller hockey game onto ice at all for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, there's it's just kind of more like, you know, you work on your hands more than anything, because obviously the ice in the like on rollerblades is different. Like there's still edges and stuff, but it's not the same. But it was more like working on the shot, working on the hands and stuff like that. That was always fun. It just gives you more confidence, you know, when you pick up the rubber compared to like the ball or something.
Right, right. Now, where you're from, Rancho Cucamonga, right?
Yeah.
Dude, the town from Next Friday?
Yep.
Dude, I didn't think that's a real fucking place.
No, it's a real place, man. It's it's luckily been, you know, made its history randomly.
Is it anything like that town, like in the movie? Is it anything like that at all?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's very boring.
Just cul-de-sacs.
I like to call it. Oh yeah, I literally grew up on a cul-de-sac.
So is that closer to Anaheim than LA?
You know what? Technically, they're kind of both the same distance, which is ironic, but...
So was it Kings for you until the Ducks became a team? And then it was like, I mean, any kid at our age was like, oh, the fucking Mighty Ducks are the bee's knees. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, this is where I have to reveal my traitorism, if that's even a word. When I first started, I was obviously a Kings fan, and it was Luke Robitaille.
Yeah.
Who was the idol. But when you get about... you know, 10, 12 years old, you kind of like, you know, you've let go of like following a favorite team, and then you start, you start prepping yourself, pretending you're going to play for the big show, they would always call it. But when the Colorado Avalanche were created, me and my friend, I forgot what, I think we were about like 10 years old. We were so, you know, impressionable by the logo. I was like, fell in love with it. And they, of course, won the Stanley Cup that first year, but I got over following it. I was like, I don't care, whatever. But my brother, since day one, when the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, you know, when they came about, he was always, always a Ducks fan. And when I quit hockey, you know, 16 years old, I was like, you know, 17, didn't give a crap about it anymore. My brother's like, you got to watch the Ducks, man. They finally got a goalie. His name is J.S. Giguere. And that was 2002. And then I started following that year, and then that's when they obviously went to the Stanley Cup Finals and lost to New Jersey.
And well, how massive was it when they – was it 2007 when they won the Cup?
Yeah.
I mean, that for California hockey, that was fucking – they. I mean, Timu Solani and them boys, it was like – they, you know, they dropped the Mighty Ducks thing, which I wish they'd kind of bring it back, but it doesn't really matter. It's, to me, they're still the Mighty Ducks, but it was like, you know, this isn't California hockey anymore. It's just, this is just hockey. It changed everything.
Oh, absolutely. It's so unbelievable how, you know, I'd like to thank Brian Burke for doing that once he came down to Southern California and finally put a team together. It had a lot to do with Chris Pronger and Scott Niedermeyer being on,
yeah.
You know.
Pronger,
being on,
man.
Defense there for sure.
How good was Pronger, dude? I mean, he was like, watching him is like nothing else. He was a freak.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer because you don't see that kind of defenseman anymore in the NHL today because The game's too fast, you know. And it was so much fun, you know. Of course, you hate him. You hate him until he's on your team.
Yeah, yeah. I always liked that too when like. Defensemen played defense like it was, you know, you're not standing in front of the goalie. That's not going to happen. And, you know, there was the dudes that would get up on the rush. But, I mean, defense was the number one thing. Like you said, now it's either they're just, you know, slower forwards, basically.
Yeah, man, it's so funny because I grew up playing forward my whole life, but until I watched Scott Niedermeyer play, it was like, man, if I ever played again, I would want to play defense because – you know, it's so funny. My brother always liked playing defense, but, you know, defense is to me just more of an interesting position to play. And of course, Scott Niedermeyer can, you know, he was so good because he can actually skate really well. But then it's like, yeah, you can skate really well. But then again, it's so important to have that other piece, like a stay at home defenseman who's actually very tough and very intimidating. Because to me, it's like, with the Ducks, they suck so bad right now because nobody's afraid to go to their front of the net. You know, John Gibson will be the first guy to tell you. He's like, I freaking can't stand my defenseman. You know, I get my ass chewed out every single night.
They've always had a tougher team till like this year, and they're just like, ah, fuck it. It's always worked for us. Let's just abandon that completely.
Oh, yeah, man. I was like, it's funny. I was like, if we're going to talk about the Ducks and their current state, I'm going to be in the – they were winning last night, man. They were winning last night, and I think with like 4 minutes left, Blackhawks tied it up, and then 16 seconds left, they took the lead.
I thought it would be a rough year for them, but not as rough as it has been. I mean, there's like two wins in the last like 3 months or so. Like, they are just abysmal.
Yeah, it's pretty sad.
So what got you, you know, were you into stand-up at all before you quit playing hockey? Or, you know, was it like somebody on the team like, hey, Mikey, you're fucking funny, man. Or, you know what I mean? Like, how does that – because that first time – and that's why I love talking to stand-up comedians. Like, you know, I've had Picaro on here and Bartnick and Earl Skakel and Colin Chamberlain. And it just fascinates me what you guys are able to do. Like, that time where, like – oh, I'm going to go up on stage by myself and tell jokes to people that may or may not give a shit. Especially, you know, when you're first starting out, like they're not coming to see Mikey McKernan. They're just, oh, I got free tickets here or whatever. What got you to that point where like, I'm going up. This is it.
Well, first of all, I've never heard of those guys you mentioned.
You should check them out.
No, see, what's so fun, I'm the youngest of six. I'm from a big family. So I've always been outgoing, you know, and asking for attention. And then, but my idol growing up my whole life has been Jim Carrey.
Okay.
And so, you know, there's always, you can, you know, be funny or quote movies, you know, they could, you know, they would always say. And so in the locker room, I just was always not afraid to like speak up or act silly or quote Jim Carrey movies. And so that was like my whole life was just being silly. And when I quit hockey, my dad's like, you should get into high school theater. And I had kind of a stage fright. And I was like, nah, I don't know. And of course, I got into it. And I really wanted to do it. So I wanted to pursue acting when I got out of high school. But of course, I always knew stand up comedy that I had to, you know, find the voice and find the craft. And eventually, if I want to be in the funny business, I'm going to have to like pursue it. And it was Bill Hicks who got me really into stand-up comedy But it was Steve Martin's book, Born Standing Up, that finally got me the courage to go and do it. And it was just some open mic that, you know, you just go and be like, all right, whatever, here's this crappy stuff I've been thinking about for so many years to say, and then you just go do it. But ever since I've done it, I've been hooked and absolutely love it, and I can't get, obviously, enough of it. And it is fun because, you know, I'm still to a point where I'm still performing to people who are just there to see stand-up comedy, and it's very slowly, you know, like people are slowly but surely are like, oh, now we're here to see Mikey McKernan, you know?
Yeah, I mean, even the past year, it seems that your career is like, you know, from a distance, me watching on YouTube and things like that and podcasts going like, oh, people are showing up to see Mikey McKernan now. It's cool to watch you guys, you know, start to take over a little bit, and just from being fucking funny, and it's and just grinding. It is like, you know, an athlete in some aspects. Like, you know, you put your fucking head to the grindstone and you get in there, and the funny people are going to make it through. But there's also those breaks too. There's those guys that knew a guy who was an assistant coach for the AHL and he gets called up. So it is always good to have that connection too, and do things like, you know, Kill Tony or run shows, you know, throughout the week, and just get out there and be a funny dude. Are your interests more towards the acting part of comedy or stand up, or is it just kind of one thing? Just being silly is your business?
I mean, I like being silly, but right now it's definitely stand up because that's like the most fun I'm having at the time. But living in Los Angeles, you just constantly got to keep the acting stuff, you know, like right, relevant and sharp. Like when I first came out to LA, it was acting, and I was obviously too scared. I was 18 and I was too scared to do stand up. And then eventually 22 was when I decided to start doing it. And, you know, I haven't turned back. The reason why it's so important, like if you're pursuing show business and you live in Los Angeles, it's very important to get your materials together, like get pictures, put it like a little reel together, like work on sketches with friends, just to have some sort of, you know, materials to be like, if you do get a call, you know, and you want to try to make some money or do a little background work, you know, you should try it and you should see if you can get rewarded, because if you do get any of those rewards, it's like, cool. Oh man, I got some money. Now I can, you know, go on the road with comedy and not worry about trying to, you know, break even and stuff like that.
Well, and it's nice to have a place to direct them to, you know, like your new website, MikeyMcKernan.com. It's like, it's flawless. It's a very nice website. Thank you. I loved it. I've been on the last, it just launched recently, but it's smooth and there's videos. Here's, you know, six videos of funny shit that I did. Here's dates. And it's good to have that as well, to be like, oh, I'm a stand-up, but I don't have my website or I don't have this yet. It's good to have that place to be like, that's where it's at. Go check it out.
Oh, 100%, man. You know, I hate to reveal that it took me so long to finally get it going. And, you know, to be taken seriously in this world, even with any entrepreneur, you know, or any endeavor that you're after, you know, you got to have like a website.
Yeah.
And, well, comedy, it's perfect because you're like, you know, for tickets, go to, you know, MikeyMcKernan.com and stuff like that. It's so crucial. And it's just such a relief to be like, it's out there. But now it's the merchandise. That's the whole other thing.
Well, I've been in a heavy metal band for over a decade, and I watched it turn into like putting out good music and to a t-shirt business. To like, if you don't have four t-shirts, you might as well not show up to the fucking show, because you're going to get paid the dick amount of money that you get. So you better hope that you have four shirts that, you know, the girlfriend that showed up with Joe Blow is going to be like, oh, well, that's cool, I'll wear that. And she just buys it because whatever. And it's like, yeah, okay, fine, I don't care, buy it. And merch is massive. And like, well, I've been doing the biscuit now for 3 years and I don't have a website. And it's like, now it's like, you know, get a fucking website, dude. What are you doing? And my videos keep getting pulled from fucking YouTube because of Disney. We did some movie commentary for Mighty Ducks, and I didn't even think about it. I was like, well, they won't watch it. And like, you can kind of hear the movie in the background, and it gets pulled every time I put it up. So I'm just like, God, if I had a website, could I put it up there? Would that work? There's got to be. I got to find something,
it's so,
you know?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's stupid. Disney, what am I doing to you? Like, you don't give a shit. Like, I'm not hurting you at all.
No, it's unbelievable because it's, well, especially with them as an example, you're like, you guys are making so much money.
You guys own fucking Star Wars.
Yeah, it refused to allow any other people to make money off of them and stuff like that.
No, and mine's a, I'm not making, mine's not monetized. I was just, it's a funny fucking thing with me and my friends, like the Biscuit watches hockey movies. I thought it'd be like a cool idea. It's like, well, we'll just do it before, you know, someone else does it. And it just gets pulled every time. And I'm like, well, maybe we just do like Slapshot. Maybe they won't pull it, but who knows?
It's so funny too, because you're like, yeah, I'm not even trying to make money off of it. Why are you guys so evil?
Right. And like it says right on there, not for children. Like, yeah, just leave me alone. I have 20 fucking followers. Get off my ass.
It's like, why aren't you guys an old school company anymore? Don't you just love the props that we give you?
Well, speaking of, you know, hockey movies, do you have a favorite one that, you know, your go-to, like when you're going to hockey movies? Because there's, you know, there's always the one that people have. They're like, well, that's my favorite one.
Man, that's a good one. I haven't thought about this in years, and I'm embarrassed to.
You're going to say D3, aren't you?
No. Man, it's a toss up between, there's three of them. It's either, oh my God, I just lost it. Where'd it go?
You got it. You
Happy
got
Gilmore.
Yeah.
Happy,
right.
Happy Gilmore. Happy Gilmore, obviously the first ever Mighty Ducks, and then Miracle.
Dude, those are perfect. Miracle. Those are perfect. Miracle is, how can you not pick Miracle?
Yeah.
Especially being an American. It's like, you almost have to. It's like, if you don't like baseball and Miracle, get the fuck out.
Yeah. It's such a great story, no matter, always too. But I love the filmmaking aspect of them trying to actually get like all the guys like positioned. You know, to like make those like, oh, this is, here comes the actual, like, you know, scene where they're going to score the goal. And so they all try to like match those, match that. And of course, the filmmaker talks about how, like, you know, it's so hard to get all that stuff so right. You know, we had to do it over and over again. Plus, we got a bunch of, you know, actors, hockey players. It's so hard for them to, you know, not just want to play the game.
Right.
So he said that there was a bunch of times where they just would allow everybody to scrimmage and they would just film that.
That's a good idea.
I love that. I'm like, dude, that's awesome. Because it's just like, I know we're out there trying to film scenes. I know we're doing this, but it's like, oh man, can we just get a little 3-on-3 going right now?
Yeah. And it's probably almost better to like just let them get it out of the way and be like, well, and then we can get serious here. Like, let them get it out of their system. And the on ice performances on that film are bar none. I mean, there's nothing better than that. I think isn't the one dude a kid of one of the guys from the 80s team?
Which one?
I think one of the guys is like the nephew or the son of one of the players. Like, not Arruzioni or something like that. But
oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, man, I forget which player it was.
I forget what dude it is, but it's like his son, I'm pretty sure. And you're like, well, that's fucking cool. Like, that's cool.
I can't remember what name it was.
And a couple of the other dudes played college hockey too. So, I mean, they had some actual players.
Yeah, there was actually a guy. His name is Nathan West. He played Callahan.
Is that the long-haired dude?
No, he I think he was the captain on the team. He played – he was in Bring It On.
Yes.
He played one of the male cheerleaders. His dad was actually – one of my dad's clients, and so when he found out, he was like, yeah, my son played hockey and then tried to go be an actor. And so my dad's like, my son's trying to do that, you know. So we got to, like, I got to hang out with him and meet him a couple times, and then he put me on the tip that movie was gonna get made. And he's like, hey, but I wasn't 18 at the time, because he was like, hey, want to come audition for the movie? They're looking for, or like tryouts, you know, they're looking for tryouts. So I wasn't 18 at the time, and then he ended up getting in the movie.
Dude, you were almost in Miracle.
I was almost at the tryout for Miracle. I was going to say that.
Dude, how sick would that have been?
Yeah, no, that would have been
so much.
And that's kind of why I have like affinity for the movie, because there's a little what if question towards it.
Right, makes it a little more personable for you, for sure. Do you still skate at all now? Is there like something where you could, if you showed up to like a fucking audition and they were like, hey, can you skate? You could get out there and still shred it up a bit?
A little bit. I haven't skated in a couple of years. I usually would just go do a public session. I still have all my gear, but, you know, it's in my garage, and, man, it's like we've had, like, our backyard flooded before. And
it's
got to
be crusted, dude.
Yeah, I've looked at the bag, and I just see, like a brown, like, layer just at the bottom of the bag, and it's like – like a stain, like a brown stain just all the way around it. Like you can see like where water level was.
Yeah.
So I'm so paranoid to peel open the bag and see what's salvageable.
You got to just, you got to throw that bag out.
Yeah, I know. That's what I most likely, there's, I know it sucks too because there's like a good pair of pants in there. Then I'm like, man, those are.
And that's just not cheap either, dude.
No, not at all. I want to do it just, I want to just toss it out just so I, you know, don't like want to get nostalgic.
Just fucking.
No matter what, every old hockey player just gets all like nostalgic and quiet when they talk about their old gear and
dude,
when they used to play and stuff.
my one daughter's in Learn to Skate right now, and I'm on the out on the boards like, if I would have just tried a little harder, like I could have. I'm like, maybe I should get out there. My wife's like, shut the fuck up. What are you talking about? Like, you played pond hockey in a town of 2,000 people. You're an idiot. And I'm like, nah, I could have been somebody.
That's hilarious. Where do you live?
I live in Belleville, Ohio. So it's nice. Like central Ohio. And I did the thing too, you know, before the Blue Jackets were around, there was no one to root for. So it was like Red Wings, Penguins, or someone else. And you couldn't be a Wings fan in Ohio because you're, like, born to hate Michigan. And Pittsburgh is, like, the same thing, too. So it was, like, I remember Doug Gilmore from, like, the video games. So I was a Leafs fan until the Blue Jackets came around. Like, just diehard because Doug Gilmore was the shit in them video games.
That's so funny. He was – oh, man, he was a great player to watch.
Oh, my God.
He was, like, the first, like, famous Leaf I remember.
Yeah, me too. And he was just like the man. And so it was like once they got a team here in Ohio, I was like, oh, I got to kind of abandon this. Well, that was the funny thing I wanted to tell you about today. It's actually – I live in a village. It's like 2,000 people. I live in a very small place on purpose because that's what I like. And so I'm walking out of my house, homeowner, and I'm going to take my daughter on a bike ride. And there's this – we have somehow one homeless lady in our town, and she has a car. But she drives from, like, McDonald's to the bike depot where we have, like, a bike trail or whatever, and that's it. That's all she does all day long, goes back and forth. And I walk up, and I'm, like, going to pump my daughter's tires, and she's on the front of her car just pissing.
Oh, my God.
Dude, I turn around and look at my wife, and I'm, like, she's pissing. I'm like, this, she's pissing right here. I'm like, her whole ass is out. Like, I'm seeing piss fly out of her. I'm like, am I in Detroit? What the fuck is going on here? And she's just like, shh, stop, stop, stop. So, and anybody that knows, that lives in Belleville knows the lady. She's the homeless lady. And I saw her bare ass pissing today, man.
Wow.
Full blown.
That can be traumatizing.
Dude, full blown. I was like, why did I have to be up front? Like, what happened? And I was like,
oh man!
I was like, well, I might as well just move to the city now. Like, it's gone. It's gone.
She ruined the small town village life.
She killed it.
Like, that's it. The homeless have moved in. We're out of here.
Yeah, she murdered it today. 32 years old. I made it 32 years, and now it's fucking ruined. It's just terrible. Now you know there's like some comedians that skate out there and still play. I know. Joe Bartnick is a guy that plays ice hockey out there, and Earl Skakel is a dude who plays roller out there. Is it because you wouldn't think that sports is a common theme among comedians. Is that something you can bond over, especially with guys out there that maybe there's a few of them, but maybe it makes that community a little bit tighter for you?
100%. There's a bunch. Softball is really big out here. Basketball league's really big out here. I know there's a couple hockey I know Jerry Bruckheimer runs like a little like
shit.
The one for the sleds and stuff, and I think Burr's part of that one too as well. Like I know Cuba Gooding Jr. is part of it, but no, it really is because you know, of course, we all love hanging out with each other and you know, bullshitting and cracking jokes. But it's like we all can be somewhere else gathered around that's not you know comedy, and it's a little competitive, and you can you know like sports wise, like play a game.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun, and absolutely the bonding gets closer. But I'm in none of those leagues, but I hear so much about it.
Well, and it's got to be like, as a comedian, there's nobody's like you guys. So then there's like, then there's the sports fan comedian. So it's like just a tighter niche group of like, oh, these are my people. Like, this is where I'm in the fucking comfort zone here.
Absolutely. I love following hockey because it's, to me, it's like my escape. I get to scream and yell at something that I have absolutely no control over.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm at, like, in home, I had to come out here into the studio and try to watch games because I'm just screaming at the TV at, like, guys who are now younger than me as I'm watching, like, fucking go! Like, and it's, like, some 26-year-old. I'm like, oh, man, I should probably calm the fuck down.
I get the same way. It's, like, sometimes, like, if a game's big, I'm like, no, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay in my home, and I want to pout however I want to pout. I don't want people to judge me and look at me if I'm overreacting over, you know, a certain thing. It happens. It was last night. I was doing a gig, and me and a buddy were talking, and the game was on, and, you know, I can be holding a conversation, and out of the blue, I'll just jump up and, like, you know, react so quick if, like, something happens. And he's like, oh, dude. He's like, what happened? Oh, oh, I didn't realize the game was on.
Yeah, my peripherals are always on it. Like, if it's on the TV, I'm like, yeah, I'm engaged, but, like, I'm also watching this game, man.
Yeah, it's so much fun, man. And, it of course, it's so fun to be part of the community. And I love being a fan of, you know, my favorite team. Like, it's actually kind of runs in my family. My uncle is very famous for being a rabid fan for the Denver Broncos. He was known as the Barrel Man. Tim McKernan, the Barrel Man. Yeah, he walked around Mile High Stadium wearing nothing like suspenders and a barrel.
This guy sounds awesome.
He got famous for it. He got to donate a barrel to the. They did a fan Hall of Fame one year.
No shit.
At Canton. Yeah, Canton. So he got a barrel in the. There's a barrel at the, you know, Colorado History Museum, and then right now at Mile High Stadium they have a tiny replica. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's no worries, man.
They have a tiny replica of old Mile High.
Yeah.
And there's a statue of him out there.
Dude. Is your family from Colorado?
No, we're all from Southern California, but he moved out there. He liked Colorado.
There you go.
I got a bunch of family out there. So now I've always kind of done this, but it's like almost like a tribute to my uncle. I've been recognized as being a Ducks fan myself because I always, when I wear a jersey, I put my arms in the jersey, and then I put my hands like their shoulder pads, and I make it look like I'm wearing ginormous shoulder pads, and I look bigger than I am. And I actually, like, I follow a couple of the Jumbotron guys on Instagram, and then, like, they know where I'm sitting. They'll come down and look for me in my section. And, like, I did a show a couple weeks ago in Lake Forest. Like, that's, like, Orange County area. And one guy's like, dude, I recognize you from the Jumbotron of the Ducks game. And to me, that's, like, the best recognition out of all of them. I'm like, I love being recognized as a freaking Ducks fan.
Well, fuck yeah, man. It's, I mean, I was talking to Picaro, and I'm like, hey, man, I want to get a few more comedians on. He goes, oh, dude, you got to get McKernan on. Fucking huge hockey fan, fucking great dude. I'm like, God, man, I know him. Of course I'd fucking love to talk to him. And then it's like, do you get to go to a bunch of Ducks games, yeah?
Yeah, my old man has season tickets. It's like, you know, his company's always been in Orange County. And the thing is, it's kind of like where that all started, where it's like, you know, your company gets tickets and you take clients to schmooze and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. my dad's been taking me since I was a little kid because if a client ever had a kid,
yeah,
my dad would bring me along to be like, yeah, basically like teach the kid like what hockey's all about and hockey's fun. And he would use me, you know what I mean? So throughout the years, I always, whenever I get like now, if I have comic friends who are hockey fans, wherever their team is, I'll try to like, I'll ask my dad if I can get a couple tickets to, you know, like I always let Andy and like last year's like giving the tickets to Andy and Bartnick to go watch the Penguins play and stuff like that.
Oh, that probably makes their fucking year too. Them sick fucking Penguin fans, man.
Yeah, it was fun. Well, Joe got to Joe got to take his daughter this last time. So
that's awesome.
Kicks ass.
Yeah, that's awesome. And dude, that situation, like your dad, it sounds like the godfather of Belleville hockey. My buddy's dad, Big Chuck Steelman, his company would get fucking tickets to the minor league team in Cleveland, the Lumberjacks at the time, and he would take us. He'd be like, you know, if there was like a game where like he didn't have clients to take, we'd all go. And then he was like, well, shit, these kids like this so much. So he started getting Ohio State Buckeyes tickets, and he would drive us down there. We'd fucking fill up the car, and he'd pay for all of us, all our shit. And it was it got a solid group of Belleville dudes here just hooked on hockey. And forever grateful to that man for doing that, because he didn't have to take us to that shit. But once you go see it live, like it either clicks in your brain, I think, or you just go, I don't get this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Being a hockey fan is so much fun, because usually when you are introducing a person to the sport, they almost, you know, when you take them to a live game, they almost become fans, because fastest sport on earth, you know,
and yeah,
the greatest sport on earth, in my opinion.
Dude, the smell of the rink, like the temperature of it, like everything, like hockey fans are fucking creeps. It's amazing. Like, and I almost get too excited, so I'm like trying to like calm myself down. Like, oh, it'll be an okay time. And then once it fires up, you're like, you just lose your fucking mind.
Yeah, my mom, she had three boys with her first marriage, and they were baseball. And she always remembered how scummy baseball players were, like the professionals. Like, she remembered taking the kids, like taking them to go meet baseball players, and they were just huge pricks.
Oh, they don't give a shit.
It was crazy. And then the next, you know, met my dad and had me and my brother, and, you know, and so she would take us to meet the hockey players, and it was just a whole complete, like, 180. They're, like, so generous, so nice, always willing to, like, you know, say hi to the kids and stuff like that. And I, like, man, hockey players, hands down, the best. You know,
absolutely.
Like, how many viral videos do you see of, like, oh, look at this little sick kid, and then, like, oh, Ovechkin stops, gives a stick, you know, or, like, makes it a point to, like, pet, you know, like, give a little extra to the kids. You see PK Subban doing so many stuff, like, man, I take so much pride in when hockey players are good.
Well, he donated like $10 million or something crazy to that hospital in Montreal. I think it's the PK Subban Children's Hospital now. That's a lot of money, man. And it's he didn't even think twice about it. It was like, oh, yeah, of course I'm going to do that. And then, like you said, like, oh, here's the $600 stick, kid. Thanks for coming to the game. They're so appreciative. And, you know, you hear old stories of, like, Bob Probert sitting outside of Joe Louis until he signed every autograph after a game, because of the people that would wait out in the cold in Detroit, and he'd sign every single thing and be like, all right, thanks, guys. Like, they don't have to do that. It's not in their contract to be nice guys and to do that shit. Or even Darren McCarty's taking time out of his life to talk to the Biscuit. And it's like, holy shit, dude. Like, this is crazy.
That's so badass.
And they're all so awesome. And I can only think of one fucking hockey player that I've had an interaction with in my life who was a huge dick. And I will always say it because he was such a prick. Brandon Saad from the Chicago Blackhawks. He was in Columbus. We went down to the stadium to meet him. And, like, he was just, like, pissed that he had to sign autographs. And I was just like, man, dude, fuck you, man. Like, you're a dick. Like, he didn't even, like, make eye contact with anybody. Like, had his gold chain out. I'm like, this guy sucks. And then they traded him back. So I was happy to see him go. He was a dick.
Yeah,
dude.
He doesn't seem like he's kind of a prima donna.
No, he was snooty. I wanted to fucking flip the table on him.
That's terrible.
Yes, like give him a stunner or something across the table.
It's so funny. Like, I haven't met too many, like, you know, rude guys, and the one who gets a really bad rap is Corey Perry.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met him. He's just, like, literally just dry. Like, it's almost like he's, like, painfully shy. Like, you can't, like, pry a word out of him. But it's like, I mean, of course, like, you know, he's got a nasty reputation on the ice and stuff like that. So, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's so hard to hear. But then, I guess, there's always, you know, my dad loves, whenever he gets like a driver or something like that, he'll always ask, like, who was the best person you picked up, and, like, who was the worst, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting to see or to hear about, for sure. And a lot of the times, like, I would think, like, being a professional athlete, it's probably weird to talk to people all the time. Like, so I mean, because you don't have anything in common with anybody. You're like this specific thing, and it's makes you appreciate the all the guys that are so great, because there's going to be that one, like Corey Perry, who might just be a little weird because he's a fucking professional hockey player.
Yeah, it's great, and it's so inspiring, because, like, you know, with, like, if you want to do your own thing, like being a stand-up comedian, and you eventually going to have fans of your own, you know,
right.
It's just like, man, I take so many, you know, so many points from, like, hockey players, and, like, how they, you know, like, just interact with the fans and make sure the fans are important. And to me, it's just always like, man, if you get fans for the thing that you create, like, they're the most important thing in the entire world. You
period.
Know what I mean? Like, they're, because of them, you're the reason why you get to do stuff, you know? If they weren't there, like, you better, you know.
The worst feeling in the world is when, you know, playing shows and being in the band, like, meeting somebody and being like, oh, nice to meet you. And they'd go, I've already met you. And I go, fuck, I got to stop saying that. Like, God damn it. And I feel like such a prick, because I'd like to talk to anybody. I was like you said, you guys showed up to see my death metal band. Thank you. We know that, like, this is why we get to go tours, because you guys showed up. So I'll talk to every single person, and, you know, you try to remember names and faces and shit, but it's just like, oh, you just say, you know, anything besides nice to meet you is the thing. You're just like, it's happened a handful of times. It's like, oh, fuck, I'm a prick.
Yeah, when I get caught, I always say, well, it's nice to meet you again.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. I'm always so drunk at these things. I'm sorry. I try to just move it along. Like, well, you know, fuck me, okay? And, you know, we talked earlier about how, you know, the game has sped up so much, and, you know, defense isn't really a thing anymore. And then there's the fighting is almost gone. Were you a fan of hockey fights?
Absolutely,
my man. I knew it.
I mean, and, you know, I was never, you know, like a physical type of style player, but, you know, fighting should always be in the game. It's such a, you know, I always say, and when I love explaining it to people who, you know, don't get it, because there's like, oh man, they get to fight each other, but I'm like, no man, it's a tactic, you know, it's a momentum, you know, builder. It's like if you're on the road and you're, you know. Or if you're home and the road team comes into your barn and starts putting numbers up on the board, like, you got to send your guy out there to, like, win the crowd back into it. You know what I mean? And, like, motivate your players and that kind of stuff. So I love it. It just sucks that the game is so fast that we don't have them anymore. You know, like, and it's like they're not taking fighting out of the game. It's just, you know, if a guy can't skate and, you know, catch a pass, like, he can't make the lineup.
Yeah, and it's not relevant in the younger leagues either, so they're not starting that position. Nobody's being an enforcer in junior anymore. It's not – so you're not making it any further. There's no progression. There's like
– yeah.
So it's just working its way out of it, and it was a thing too that, you know, even like minor league teams could – if you knew two heavyweights were coming in, you might sell some more tickets too. So it was like, ah, oh, fuck, and it's just – It sucks that it's happening, but I'm glad that there's places like hockey fights where you can go see them, because the guys that did it were so good at it that it's going to be crazy if anyone can be as good. You know, you got like Ryan Reeves and guys like that, but dudes that did it back then were fighting so much that they had perfected it, and it was like a complete art form, and it's sad to see it go. And it's like you said, you talk to people. It's hard to explain it, and but it is a role that meant and still should mean something to hockey, I think.
Yeah, it's so amazing of the evolution of the game. Like, I've always given credit to hockey be like one of the first, always one of the first national sports to change the rules. Like, and it kind of sucks that it's like, oh, man, we got to keep changing rules every single year. But it's like, man, the game won't stop evolving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is great. And that's where it's like, man, it sucks that the game has evolved, that we don't get to see as fights as anymore. But at the same time, though, it's like, hey, they're still going to be fighting. Guys are still going to lose their tempers. If guys have problems with each other, they can. That's why hockey's also great. I was like, man, right. If you got a problem with another guy, you get to go settle it. You can go out there and be like, yo, you challenge him to a fight, and you go sit in the box and be like, all right, well, whoever got the best of us, we can, you know, I can't keep fighting him every time because then my coach is going to ream me for it. But it's so great.
The ultimate.
You want to have it. Go ahead.
No, go. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'll just say it's just so good to have, you know, still have a kind of a bruiser or an enforcer, but now he's got to be able to skate. Now he's got to be able to contribute. So it is fun to see guys who are like, man, that guy, like, I love that. That's our guy who will drop the gloves. You know, he'll protect his teammates and stuff like that. But it's like so good that, oh, he fucking just scored a sweet ass goal. And you know what I mean? Like I said, Ryan Reeves is fun to watch because he's put up some really good points, but at the same time, though, he can protect his teammates.
Oh, he has zero fucks to give, and it is they're always the fan favorites. And I think, and I've mentioned this with a few of the ex-players that have been on, and it's going to go back a little bit. They had to kind of clean it up a little bit, I think, and now it's going to go because there's going to be kids that watch now that go, well, I can be Ryan Reeves and be this and still fuck people up and put the goals in. So there's going to be dudes like that. And like you said, there's always going to be that boiling point where a linesman can't go in and break it up because it's going to be away from the play. And the ultimate conclusion to an argument is two men punching each other in the face. And it's usually done. And then it's so fucking electric when that happens too.
Yeah. You seen the George LaRocque video where he challenges, I think it's a, Yvonne's to a fight. He goes, hey buddy, you want to go? When they drop the puck, yeah, we'll square off. All right, good luck.
Have
you
seen that video?
And I love showing that to people because I'm like, it's a gentleman's agreement, you know what I mean? Like they literally, like, you know, let's do it. If we want to go after each other, let's, you know,
well, George,
we're both to agree to it.
I've been lucky enough to have George on the show, and he was first to admit I didn't like fighting, but I also knew that I had a job to do, and if something was stale in the building, or if you knew players were running around playing fuck around, the best way to deal with it is me fighting your guy. Here he is. All right, you want to go now? The score's good. The time's good. You know, neither of our coaches are going to get pissed because there's a time and a place for it even throughout a game too. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. It's like chess. It's so tactical. Yeah, and That's why I love it. I always tell everybody, man, hockey's an intellectual sport, man. There's so many layers to it. It's a physics sport. You know, you can shoot the puck. It's going at a certain speed. It can hit anything, a stick, a foot, or whatever, and then it just changes the course of everything.
I think about, you know, you're a Ducks fan, and I'm a – Jared Bowles, one of my favorite fucking players of all time, probably my favorite being a Columbus guy. And when he was in Anaheim in the playoffs – I forget who it was, but somebody took an instigator penalty against him, and he's sitting in the box, you know, for fighting, laughing as Anaheim scored a power play on it. He's just fucking cracking up. I'm like, oh my God, this is fucking perfect. He knew if he started shit with home, I think it might have been Hartman or somebody from Nashville, and it was fucking beautiful to watch it happen. It was one of my favorite Jared Bull moments. He's just cracking up in the penalty box.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's the best, man. Now, who would be, you know, let me give you three questions here real quick. Your favorite fighter of all time, your favorite all-time player, and your favorite current player.
Oh, good. Favorite fighter of all time? Man, there's a Marty McSorley, probably, for fighter. I mean, I'm a big fan of George Perros, so. I mean, I would say it's like his style is fighting, but I love that it was like this Princeton grad.
Yeah.
You know, this, you know, like when you see him, you're like, oh, look at this lumberjack. Look at this freaking airhead. Oh, yeah. And then you're like, no, this guy's got to be part of the
actual genius.
Yeah, he's going to be like the smart, like some of the smartest people ever in the NHL in the future. So, my favorite player growing up, I have to say, Tamu Solani for sure.
Right. Right.
I've met him a million times. This dude's the nicest human alive. We named our dog after him. He's so awesome.
So you've got to sit down and talk to the guy?
Yeah.
Was it fucking sick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got to show him Well, like we like not like sit down, but I've gone to like Ducks, you know, like season ticket events, and you know, you can mingle with the teammates and stuff. So like we got to show him our picture of our dog and tell him we named him after. And he's like, "That's awesome," you know.
He seems like a fucking cool dude.
My mom's always loved Yari Curry growing up.
Yeah.
And so like just fins have just always been a big thing in our family.
One of my favorite
player right now. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say one of my favorite team Solani moments is when he was inducted to the Hall of Fame and his wife knew that the phone call was coming in and they record him and he's sitting there crying. I just thought it was a touching moment from such a fucking phenomenal hockey player.
Oh, yeah, man. There's the Stanley Cup playoff commercial where there's like, you know, there's like no words and they're showing like the guys, you know, like being speechless.
Yeah.
When they win the cup. And then, of course, you see Timu there, like, it just perfectly how it was cut. Like, oh, man, never gets old. Never gets old.
No. And your favorite current guy?
That's Ricard Raquel.
Oh, dude.
Love me them Swedes.
He's a bad mother, man.
Yeah. I love watching Jack Eichel, though, play as well when it's not on the – if it's not a Ducks.
I like
– you know who else I like, too, is I like Wenberg.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he's a stud.
Now, everybody in Columbus fucking hates him. I'm like, you guys got to give him
a
– because he's not a shooter. He won't shoot a fucking goal. The net could be open and he's going to try to find a pass, but I don't mind him either. And the dude took a one-year contract this year to stay with the team. I like a team guy like that. And Wenberg's – he's got it. He's just got a – I don't know if Torts is a dude or what's got to happen, but with the trades they made now, Wenberg's got to either shit or get off the pot.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. Next year is going to be tough for the Blue Jackets for sure.
Bro, if somehow they miss the playoffs, like because they're on the outside looking in right now, with this team, we're done for another decade. We're toast.
Yeah, oh, man.
No draft picks. Nobody's going to sign. We lose – Panarin, Bobrovsky, Duchesne, DeZingle, McQuaid, everything is – it's going to be some dark days, dude. Yeah, Wenberg, it's going to be some dark days. We'll have Cam Atkinson and Nick Foligno going forward and Keith Kincaid playing net. It'll be pretty shit. and well, my favorite Duck right now is the brother of a guy who plays for the Blue Jackets – Cole Sherwood's brother there in Anaheim.
Oh, dude, Kiefer Sherwood. Oh,
dude,
he's in San Diego right now. My god, dude, I'll never forget because me and my brother, we try to go to training camp every year and try to watch them. The second we went there, I was like, "Who is that guy?"
Right,
and then of course hearing him like last year he got on the Ducks or no, he got on the Goals, their minor league team because of when his college was up. And I love it because he's just been like ever since he's just like he's been free. He's just been like, no, I work my ass off. I show up every day.
He goes hard.
He's excellent. I love watching that guy.
And what is he? 19?
Yeah, he's so young.
Because I think he's younger than Cole, and Cole's young as shit. So it's like those two dudes. I was happy to see him go to Anaheim. I think it's a place where because they got a little bit of grit to them, and that's when I think of the Ducks. I still think that they got to put a little bit of that nastiness into their game.
Oh. We have to.
Have to, right?
Yeah, he's such a good depth player. He's going to be so good. I can't – dude, there's a lot of good things about the Anaheim future, and Kiefer Sherwood is definitely one of them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, him playing at any line is going to help out, and, like, that depth is what makes a team, move on and play deep into the playoffs, and the Ducks will be back. This is what happens, with the salary cap. This is how it goes.
Yeah, I've actually loved the evolution of no more big free agent signings. I don't care if the trade deadline's kind of a dud. It's like, you got to raise them. You got to raise all your babies. That's how Chicago, their top five guys, Kane, Taves. There's another guy I'm missing who was a winger, but I think he's gone now. But Seabrook, Keith, and then of course Corey Crawford, like they all drafted all those guys.
They were the farm team to the NHL until just now. Like, I mean, Bufflin's out of there. The fucking Panarin came out of there. Like, they just were feeding the NHL because they couldn't pay everybody.
Yeah.
But they would have been the, you know, mid-90s Wings. They would have been a fucking all-star team, or like the 02 Wings. Like, with if they would have been able to pay whatever they wanted for those guys, they'd be unbeatable with the roster that they would have accumulated.
And it's so crazy. I was just going to say, it's so crazy to think that Joel Quenneville got fired and he still hasn't got a job. But my theory is that I think he's holding out for Seattle. I think they're going to.
Yeah, I think that's got to be the move, right?
Yeah. Because he's really good at developing the young guys.
If he wanted, he could have had a job, I think.
Oh, yeah. Because, I would have loved for him to come to Anaheim.
Oh, God, dude. Don't you have the GM running shit there now, or is that L.A.?
I love our – no, he is. I love Bob Murray. I've always liked our GM. I always thought he was good. But the problem with the Ducks is they're getting old. Kessler had one good year with us.
Yep. Like, Getzlaff's old.
Yeah, Corey Perry, his knee was fucked for so many years. He finally got surgery, but then again, he's slow, you know. Ryan Getzlaff has been carrying the whole team, you know, forever. But problem with Anaheim is that, you know, they when the season starts, they either want to put their skates on or keep their sandals on. So
another dude on the Ducks I like is Hampus Lindholm, and I don't know how long he'll be there. He'll probably be fucking gone here pretty soon too.
Yeah, Swedish defensemen are some of the best players to ever watch, and we really thought Hampus was going to be the thing, but he hurt his shoulder like over a year ago. He's never been the same since.
Yeah, I just dropped him off my fantasy team. Thanks for nothing this year, Hampus.
Oh, God, he's had a horrible year,
dude,
man.
Just shit.
Hit Josh Manson.
Oh, my God, dude. Manson, I had Manson last year. He fucking tore it up because we count Pims in our league.
And
oh, God, Manson is a fucking beauty.
Yeah, they put the A on him this year, and I don't think that was a good move.
He disappeared.
Like, yeah, I was telling you, like, I love how there's, you know, you got to have some grit towards, like, one defenseman. And so with putting in the A, I don't know if they're like, Josh, we want you to, like, you know, like, curb that, or we want you to, like, be the leader behind there, you know? So,
yeah.
Like, don't, like, you know, basically don't, like, put your teammates at a disadvantage. But it's like, man, but then again, with Anaheim, like, there's been so many cases where it's like dudes get married and then they get those contracts and then they just, you know, they stop working their ass off.
It seemed like that A fucked with Manson's head. Like, it's like he tried to change what got him that A.
Exactly.
And, yeah, that – it was – God damn it. He would have – I mean, he's top 10, one of the toughest dudes in the league when he was doing it. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to fuck with him, man. Going back to stand-up, something that I find very intriguing is creating that hour. Is that – how hard is that to do, to make 1 hour of funny shit? Like, that, like, 5 minutes seems impossible.
Well, you're talking to a guy who hasn't done an hour yet, so
– what are you working – what do you got?
I'm at 35 right now, but the goal this year is to do an hour. My stand-up is – I have, you know, tiny bits. Well, so
that's a perfect question. I mean, as you're trying to build this hour, like – and you've been at it for 9-10 years. That just shows that craft is – you guys have to take it so seriously because you can't just put – I mean, Netflix does put out some hours that are like, well, probably not. But the ones that are taking it the right way – I love to hear that, you know, you've been at it for so long and still have 35 minutes that you consider to be good.
That's good that you say you love it, because I've watched too many times Joe Rogan on his podcast just say, well, you've been doing it for 7 hours, you got 20 minutes, you're lazy, you're lazy. It's like, oh my God, he's talking to me.
it's not lazy. I mean, sometimes it just doesn't come. There's got to be...
Atmosphere has everything to do with it, or, you know, or geography has everything to do with it. You know, there's no hours for, you know, young comics to develop out here. You literally have to go find your own place that you can do it at, or you got to get out on the road to do that kind of stuff.
Right.
So within, like, the last year, that's what I've been doing. I've been going out on the road as much as I possibly can. And it's, you know, with the tiny bits for me, it's the transitions to them all. You know, I could... Like, I have a master list and I work on that, but when I start adding new ones in and then I go there and then I forget where I was at, or if I riff, they'll like, oh man, I forget where I was and my list. So, you know, because there's times where, you know, when you're first building the young hour, you do a lot of crowd work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so that's kind of like to suffice the time. But I want to like have such an hour of full material because I love doing crowd work and stuff like that. So to me, if the hour is so tight and I know like my master lift on the back of the hand, then I can go crazy with crowd riffs and crowd work or what have you on whatever happens in that moment to, you know, to go off of.
Well, then there's nights you go out there and you got fucking girls talking about Burger King. And you're just like, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to work up here. Like, get out of my fucking face. And I think Rogan forgets sometimes that he's worth $600 million and like can go up on stage for as long as he wants and work out whatever. And it's not laziness if you don't have a fucking hour. It's the opportunity and the time that's given to somebody and wanting to make it good. I'm sure he didn't make his fucking first hour and his first year. There's no fucking way he did.
No, exactly. What he means by that, you know, like you, it's like, well, where do I find to go get an hour? Like it's, you have to go on the road.
Right.
And, but the problem is it's like right now, like I'm stuck in SoCal. I can't get out to go do comedy somewhere else because I can't afford, you know, to make enough money to do it. But I mean, the whole point is it's going to happen, you know, and you,
right.
You strive for that. And literally my goal is 45 minutes this year, even though 45 minutes is a stand up hour. So,
and I had heard you were making a documentary. Is that a fake thing or is that a real thing?
No, who told you that?
I swear to God, I heard somebody that you were making one called Mikey McKernan is Not Funny.
There was a video of like, I know I had a friend do like a school project.
Uh-huh.
Like there was a video on there and stuff like that. And I tried to, that was just it. But no, currently there's no camera crew following me. There's no idea for a documentary.
It seems like a good way, you know, at the 45 minute time is try to get them fucking festivals too.
No, absolutely. Yeah. There's the festivals are fun because you get to meet, you know, different comics from different places. And, you know, the goal of that is to find more road work, you know, you can hopefully find, you know, but then again, that has a lot to do with your means, you know, like,
right.
You'll go do a festival in Laughlin because you want to see like the booker from Arizona, you know what I mean? Yep. Like, you know, like you don't want to go to Syracuse, New York to do 5 minutes to hopefully be like, oh, come do New Jersey. But it's like, all right, well, you gotta fly me out, you know? So,
right. Exactly. That's like, you know, we've been offered like, you come play this festival in New York. I'm like, well, what are you going to pay us? Like $300. I'm like, it's fucking five of us. That's $20 per person or whatever. Like, so we have to book our way out there to get there and then to get back because we'll make more from the bar shows than we would at the festival.
Exactly.
So it's just trying to make that happen. And thank God for the internet that you can hit people up and be like, hey, you got anything going on Wednesday night in Buffalo? Like, and it seems to work out, but it's that initial means to get it started.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, like, my biggest thing is, you know, like, I don't mind putting myself out there as an actor in Los Angeles because it's like, man, if I can get a national commercial or something, I'm like, cool, where do I want to go do comedy now?
Well, and I think the website being up now and, you know, starting to get merch on there is going to be huge, too. That's going to be fucking massive.
Yeah, it's so amazing. I'm so happy about it. I can't – oh, man, I'm so thrilled.
I'm happy for you, man. The website's fucking great, dude. I just got a few more for you if that's cool, man.
Let's do it.
Now, you look like a dude who played an Angel Witch in the late 80s. Are you a metal dude at all?
a little bit. Not as much. I grew up on listening to Korn.
Fuck yeah, like, dude. Fuck yeah.
So
we all did, man. We had no choice.
Yeah, that's right. You know, yeah, we're the same age. Yeah, Korn was...
It's fucking MTV's fault, dude.
Yeah, TRL, that's where I always think my music.
I was like, dude, I liked Eminem, Korn, Tom Green. Like, I was just fucking listening to, like...
Limp Bizkit, Slipknot. I still listen to System of a Down, their first album. I just, like, got back onto that again recently, man. Oh, I freaking love their first album.
Dude, go back to the first Korn album. It'll fucking ruin your weekend. It's so good.
Oh, I love it. No, Follow the Leader, still to this day, I can... Oh, they still screaming in my car. I love it.
I just saw they're touring with Alice in Chains. I was like, I have to fucking go to that. Like, I have to go to that.
That's so funny. I know. I don't even know who, like, Like, what members are original Korn anymore?
I can't tell anybody that I'm going to see Korn, though. That's the problem.
I haven't listened to Korn and Skrillex. Somebody told me that.
Go ahead and skip that one, bud.
Okay, good.
It's got to be. I never listened to it. I was like, there's not a chance I'm checking that out. But like you said, I don't even know who's left. I think it's Jonathan Davis and that's it, maybe?
Yeah, like, I don't even know.
But, dude, I was so into it. I could name them all. That's how into those dudes I was, man.
Yeah, me too.
How much beer could a beer bong bong if a beer bong could bong beer?
Two?
And, you know, you being such a big hockey fan and, you know, making skits and doing stand-up, have you ever thought about making or writing a hockey comedy skit or film?
Oh, man. Me and my brother, we've had dreams of doing it all the time. My brother's an aspiring screenwriter. So
you're the
he's
one to
always,
do it, dude. I know
he's
it.
He's always puts hockey in any all his stuff. But what we really wanted to do, when we talked about it, was doing a – we wanted to do a beer league hockey TV show.
Yes.
But then – do you remember Benders?
I remember Benders. I love Benders.
So Benders came out and we kind of like – that kind of killed our buzz.
Canceled in a fucking heartbeat too.
Yeah, didn't even make the light. And the guys who worked on it are freaking hilarious.
Fucking DeStefano is a fucking stand-up genius, man. He's been giving me the ring around from coming on this show for over a year now. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it. And I'm like, all right, it's time to do it. He's like, oh, I can't do it now. I'm like, ah, fuck you, man.
Yeah, no, he's like, I blew up, man.
Yeah, fucking you. I'm on Comedy Central now. Fuck the biscuit.
Have you watched Letterkenny?
Yeah, huge fan.
Yeah, I love that one. That one's one of my favorite ones right now. The dream is to do some sort of sketch of, like, hockey. Like, I just always had, like, ideas of guys sitting on the bench or, you know, just something like that. Because hockey is anything. Anything we can do to, like, put, you know, hockey into it. It's so funny. I don't have any material about stand-up. Like, in my stand-up, I don't talk about hockey as much because – I don't know, man. It's like my one thing that bothers me. Like, how do I not have, you know, like I can talk about hockey all day, but it's just, you know.
Well, when you go up tonight, just go up there and fucking, I've been a Mighty Ducks fan since 92 and just driving, just don't even be funny. Just talk about the Ducks and everyone, what the fuck is that? But I think that is something that I think you could pull off really well, man, is some kind of hockey comedy related, like, because you played, you know the game so well that even if you just shot it yourself and just did it, like you said, your brother's a screenwriter, just fucking made it, I think it would be a hit, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I want to. There's gonna be something eventually because, you know, you got to just make content.
It's the fucking way of the world now. If you're not fucking – if I'm not doing three podcasts every fucking 6 hours, I'm an asshole.
Yeah, I don't mind it, you know, at the same time, because when I was 18 and I came out here to be an actor, you know, it's always like, oh, like, what's your, like, dream role? Like, what do you envision yourself playing? And today it's like, you don't even have to dream it. You can be like, yo, this is my character. This is like, oh, I've always wanted to be, you know, a hockey coach or some hockey guy who sits on the bench. Like, you make it yourself. You know, you get to do that.
You shoot it with your iPhone.
Yeah, exactly.
How did Boo Ha Ha start, man?
Well, it was actually a shtick.
Yeah.
Like just a gag that I would do, you know, for my friends. Like I'd tell a bad joke and then I'd obviously have like my own, you know, like, hey, yo, it's, you know, my own catchphrase to it. And then, of course, everybody's like, do that on stage. And I'm like, fuck no, dude. I'm never doing that hacky-ass, gimmicky, fucking shticky-ass comedy.
One of my favorite ones, and I don't mean to burn your material, but the karate one, dude, is that's my favorite one. What's the what tea has the most kick or like whatever? That karate joke, dude, is just so fucking silly and goofy, and I fucking lose it every time I hear it.
Thank you. I do appreciate it, man. It is fun.
It's goofy. It's hilarious.
Yeah. One of my idols is obviously is Goofy. I have like a Goofy phone case, and that's my style, man. It's silly, it's goofy, and I love it because there's so many comedy's so subjective. There's so many different things, especially the world we're living in, where they want you to be more serious, post comedy and have a message and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're not transgender, you shouldn't do comedy.
Yeah, I got kicked off a show because I was a straight white male.
Well, of course you did.
Yeah, and it's funny too, because I'm like, have you listened to my stand up? Like, I'm not even
going to mention anything.
Yeah, exactly. So I love it. It's part of the feel good business. And unfortunately, no, not unfortunately, but I'm very fortunate. I'm very lucky that everybody likes the Booha, so I can keep doing it.
It's like, I just now realized that you're green, and it doesn't come off green because it's just fun and silly that you're not even thinking that you're not up there cussing.
Yeah, exactly.
I just realized that. I've been watching a lot of your comedy, and it does because some people are like, well, I only listen to serious people that say fuck, and so I'm like, well, what are you talking about? Like, this guy's just funny. That's all that matters.
Yeah, it is amazing, and I'm so lucky to have gotten on Kill Tony a bunch of times, because that's kind of been like, the affirmation of like, dude, people like the style you got. Like, you can actually connect with some people out there and stuff like that. So that's been so huge to, because as a comic, when you are trying something that's a little bit different, it's a little far out, yeah. Might not connect with everybody, so you're very timid by it. You might not, it's going to be a harder journey, basically.
One of the fun things about that show too is that, like, there'll be three dog shit comedians on there, and then someone like yourself or William Montgomery will get on there. Or I remember when Malcolm got on for the first time, Hatchet, and it's like, oh my God, like, there is a huge difference in how people approach this fucking art.
Oh, 100%. And it's really fun that, when comics who are good and they go up there on that platform and they can shine, because it's like, don't waste your time. So many people love using Kill Tony as like, oh, this is going to be my first time as comedy, which is,
if you plan on doing it again.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, we all start somewhere, but I just say it's such a good opportunity. Don't waste it. Right. Go practice a little bit. And like, it's only 1 minute. So if you could go out and practice a bunch and actually have a minute that works, like, you're going to have such a wonderful time.
Well, I remember one of the first times you were on and you were doing the boo-ha-has, and Tony was like, I really think that should be like a fucking catchphrase of yours. And then I think you got an Ice House show out of it, because it was just so fucking silly and goofy that, like, if you like to laugh, you couldn't help but like. And then, and I'm fucking ranting here, but like, I had never seen you do it. And then watching you do it is a whole nother fucking like layer to the cake that makes it even funnier, because you move like a fucking funny human.
Yeah.
Like, your body doesn't work like a real person. Like, it's just hilarious. It's so fucking funny, dude. I'm a huge fan, man.
Thanks, man. I really do appreciate that, William. It's all about recognition, man. You have to understand that, like, so many people, they, same with all sorts of endeavors, but especially show business. People are like, I need to be famous. I need to be on billboards. No, you need to be recognized. You know what I mean? And like, if you can get recognized by, the type of people, or just, who are, just city recognition, and people give you props of the thing that you are pursuing and it's working, so I'm grateful for it. It's funny you brought up the first time I killed Tony, because I avoided it because I'm like, I don't think they're going to like this. The first time I went on, Luis J. Gomez was the guest.
He can be a huge prick too.
Yeah, he was like, I don't like it. He's like, you're going to do that for an hour? And that's where I'm like, hopefully. So ever since I've been on Kill Tony the first time, it's been, how do I do this for 1 hour? And that's like the path I'm on right now.
Well, it's working, man. I'm in a fucking small town in Ohio, and there's a bunch of fans of yours here. I know I told a bunch of dudes today, I was like, fucking boo-ha-ha dudes coming on. They're like, oh shit, can't wait to listen to that, bro. So,
dude, that's awesome. I appreciate hearing that.
Fucking A, man. What kind of plugs you got, man? I'm a huge fan. I appreciate the fucking time. It's always nice to talk to a stand-up comedian that's a hockey fan too. It is the purpose of, you know, this podcast is to talk to people who like hockey. That's what I wanted to do, why I started it. And, you know, again, thank you for your time, and just, you know, tell the listeners where to find you and all that good shit.
No, man, grateful to be on here, talk hockey all day, every day. It's the greatest sport on earth. Right now, you know, I can't get out of Southern California, so you can go to MikeyMcKernan.com. You can follow me on Instagram, at MikeyMcKernan. I'm on Twitter, at MikeyMcKernan. I'm not a big tweeter, though. I've always been a follower, but my favorite thing about being on Twitter is hockey.
I love
hockey Twitter. Some of my favorite.
Yeah,
the beat writers, you know, like following any beat writers for your favorite team, because they're always, you know, they're there. They get, like, you know, the word and stuff like that. Like, you be watching a game, and then you're like, where's so-and-so? You go on Twitter, and they're like, yeah, so-and-so's not coming back.
Like, okay, yeah, they just tweeted it, like, exactly what you're thinking. I'm like, oh, thank God I follow him.
Yeah, I've always been a big on the Twitter.
That's like the radio dude for Columbus, Bob McGilligan, is on Twitter. And, like, if you're listening right now and you're a Blue Jackets fan and you don't follow him, you're a fucking moron, because that dude is on everything. It's the best. I tweet him questions all the time, and he's just like, I wish the biscuit would leave me alone.
That's so funny.
Dude, well, thank you so much, man. I really appreciate this. It's been a real treat for me, man. And, you know, hopefully we'll have you back on in the future.
Yeah, absolutely, man. William, it was an honor. Thank you so much, dude.
Fucking A, man. Best of luck. And if you ever make it to Ohio, which I know you will, hit me up, man.
I will, absolutely. Thanks a lot, man. Take care of yourself.
Yep, you have a good night. Thanks for listening, everybody. I really appreciate it. Go rate and review us. iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play Music. Go listen to Fourth Line Voice Podcast as well. They are part of the Hockey Fights family. Fourth Line Voice is one of my favorite humans of all time, and his show is amazing. The dudes he has on there, you will not find anywhere else. He is a hockey treasure. And go listen to my buddy Shane Guilfoyle and the History of Hockey podcast as well. All right, everybody. Freedom, hockey, the biscuit.